Accession number 27079, Reel 5.
Mr. Shaw, Reel 5. Which vessel did you now join, Mr. Shaw?
The motor vessel Ripley. And joined her at Hull.
What kind of vessel was she?
She was a general cargo ship. Motor ship. Same as the Sutherland. She belonged to Andrew Weir Shipping Company. I thought they were the Glasgow firm, I'm not sure now.
And was she armed in the same way as other ships were armed for now that you...
She had some guns on, but they were... she didn't have any Oerlikons on. She had Browning machine guns on, I remember, and Hotchkiss.
And she didn't have a naval gun,
Yes, she did. The Ripley did, yes. I remember now. Because I remember sleeping under the gun platforms. Yes, she did have. She must have had a NACAC gun up forward. She had a 4.7 aft. And she had anti-aircraft guns. I think they were Browning and Hotchkiss.
Was she a larger ship than the other two you'd been on?
Same size. Same size, general cargo, dry cargo ship. And she was loading ballast when I joined her. She didn't have deep tanks, and she loaded ballast. We went out to Freetown, North Africa. West Africa.
In convoy.
I remember going down the Channel in convoy. I'm sure we took the rest of the journey on our own down to Freetown.
What was the speed?
She did about 9-10 knots.
Not terribly fast, is it?
No, there was... Most ships were about that speed them days. There was... general cargo ships were just... There was no fast ones among them, really. There was when you got up into the... 20,000 ton mark when you get into the 15,000 ton mark. Blue Star boats, refrigerated cargo ships, they were pretty fast. And the Castle Line, the passengers carried cargo and passengers, they were fast ships. Fruit boats, they were always fast. But the ordinary cargo, general cargo ships, what we call tram steamers, they're, like we say, in the slow convoys, you could get some doing 8 and 9 knots. I was on one, did about 6 or 7 later on. We went to Freetown and we picked a crowd of crew boys up. You got 25. These local lads aboard, and they work the cargo for you. They're like mobile dockers. They go with your ship round the coast, calling at different ports, and they load the cargo or discharge the cargo. In our case, we went round to Lagos, and we anchored outside during the day, and the crew boys were down in the hold, rigged the winches up, and they were discharging the ballast over the side. During the night time we had to go into port because there was some threat of there might be U-boats around, but pretty remote like. But as a precaution, they made us go back in, anchor in the harbour during the night and go back out during the day again. This one down until the ballast was all out of there. And we went alongside then and started loading.
What were you loading?
Palm kernels. There was palm kernels, cotton seed, and palm oil. I can't remember how we carried the palm oil, because I'm sure she didn't have deep tanks. She might have had deep tanks. I know we took palm oil back home as well.
And this is when you picked all this up, you were coming back to England again?
No, we picked palm kernels and some palm oil up, and we went along the coast and took a deck cargo of went to a place called Bruto, where you go up a creek, you go past this bit of a jetty which was supposed to be the port, and then you sail up the creek, and it's a pretty big wide river, and you swing the ship's bow into the bank of the river and wait till the tide turning, and the tide swings you round, and you tie up to what appeared to be the stumps of big trees. You put your mooring ropes onto them, and the floated logs down to us. I'm saying logs were trees. It was what they called a bastard mahogany, very heavy timber, and we took a deck cargo of that aboard, and went back round to Freetown, and we came in convoy from Freetown back to the UK. But once we hit the tropics there, the hot weather, we had a lot of little visitors coming out of the woodwork, which chased us all up on deck. You couldn't sleep in your bed for being bitten.
Your bugs, some form of
they,
bugs.
They were my introduction to bugs. Yes, and all hands slept out upon deck under the gun platforms, slung hammocks between the derricks. And the gunners in their accommodation, they were lucky, it was all new accommodation, they had none. We were the permanent crew, we had the lodges. And all the gun screws that went aboard, for some reason or other, they gave them all a hammock. The Navy and the Army blokes. And they gave us the hammocks, and we slung them between the derricks, because it was hot climate, you know. And we slung them between the derricks, under gun platforms, under alleyways, and just slept out on deck. So we got back home and we said goodbye to her.
Just the one, this was the one journey you had?
Just
the,
was the one trip one with her, yes. Yeah.
What size was she?
About 10,000 ton. Same size as a Sutherland.
So then you're into your next ship then?
Yeah. We left her in Liverpool in 1942. And I was home for a couple of months. We were on a registered merchant navy pool by then.
How did that work?
It worked that when you signed off a ship, you went home and had your leave. And there was no fear of you not going back, because that was your job. No work, no ship, no money. So you went round to the shipping office, what used to be the shipping office, and they had another office there called a reserve pool. Merchant Navy reserve pool it was by then. And they used to pay you like a retainer. But the snag was, they offered you a ship, and if you didn't take it, there was no money, there was nothing. So you took the ships they offered, and sometimes there was, like I was on the pool at Goole, which was nearest port to Wetherby, where I lived in the middle of Yorkshire, and we had a glut of ordinary seamen. So they would send 20 down to London and 10 to Liverpool, and they sent about 8 or 9 of us up to Glasgow. So me and the mate I chummed up with from Castleford went up to Glasgow, and we were lucky we got a job on the Ohio.
And this is how you got onto tankers?
That's how I got onto tankers, anyway.
Was she a British merchant vessel, the Ohio?
No, she'd just come over from America with a load of gasoline, petrol. They call it gasoline, we call it petrol. And she discharged it on the Clyde at Bowling and went to anchor, and the Ministry of War Transport took her over. So they had to pay the Yankee crew off, and we were lucky we got the job on her.
You thought you were lucky then, did you?
We thought we were lucky at the time. We couldn't see it in the future.
So what date would this be then?
It would be... It was before the 10th of July. It was sometime in June. Because we worked in June 1942, because we didn't sign on straight away. We got the job, the mate gave us the job, and he said, "We're not signing on yet, and get your gear aboard, and you was what you called working by her. You're not signed on the ship, but you're working on her." And that's what me and my mate did. And when they get enough crew mustered together, like, to take you down to the shipping office and sign everybody on.
How did you feel? I mean, you must have known that tankers were pretty dangerous ships to be on in wartime.
Yeah, but when you saw the Ohio, she was that much different. She was big, strong built. She was an American ship. She was only 2 years old. She had accommodation out of this world. Everything about it was good, you know. Seemed good and big to us anyway.
What size was she?
She was... What was she carrying? They vary between... The estimates that the authors give is between 11 and 15,000 tonne of oil she carried. So she'd been about 10,000-12,000 ton tanker.
And you say the quarters were so much different. What were the quarters like on the ship?
Oh, she had a big, like a palatial mess room. There was a fireman had the mess room, and we had our mess room. It was just like one big mess room, but it was like two canteens in one. And you had a mess man who served the meals up and looked after you and kept the place clean. There was coffee machines all the way around. You could get coffee 24 hours a day. The accommodation was good. She had been single cabins, but they doubled the accommodation up when we took her over for some extra crew that we were supposed to get. And the extra crew was 22 gunners. But they didn't really use our accommodation. They built new accommodation onto the fore end of the main accommodation for them. Anyway, they all fitted in. But she was a good ship, new ship.
How many in the crew?
When we eventually signed on, she had 77.
Now, how were they split up? Duties and responsibilities?
Just had your normal sea crew plus these 22 gunners. And a Royal Navy liaison officer.
And what armaments had she?
She had guns all over the place. She had an American 5-inch gun on the, as a main armament on the stern. She had a 3.5 on the forecastle head, anti-aircraft gun. She had 6 Oerlikons. and the Beaufort. And she had some small arms. One of the lads who is my mate was, he was adamant there were Brownings, and somebody else was arguing there were Hotchkiss. And I don't know, so I never got into the argument.
What was his name?
Ray Turner. Ray, I will say Ray Turner. Ray Morton, that's him on the photo on the calendar. Ray Morton.
You just got pretty close to your, you know, to your crew members in such a small environment.
Yeah, we didn't have a lot of time, but I don't think we got to know really all the crew. We knew them by sight, obviously, you know, you were rotten on the same ship as them. But you never really got to name, you know, names and any history about them or anything like that, you know. You weren't on quite long enough. The bit of time you were on, you were pretty busy half the time, so... I remember Ray saying I was the only assistant steward on board, and I think she had three, and we had the crew's messman, that was four assistant stewards ours, but Raymond didn't remember any of them, because I said to him, do you remember Raymond Banner that died in Malta? And he said, there was nobody called that on our ship. I says, Ray, there was. I went to his funeral. Aye. And he couldn't remember him. You know. Memory plays tricks on you.
Can you describe the ship itself? Obviously different in shape and et cetera.
She's a normal tanker. She had a very low main deck. She had a raised forecastle head and a raised poop. And she had what we called a flying bridge, which is a bridge about 15, 20 foot high above the main deck, running from the forecastle head to the bridge. And you walk round the bridge and you came to another flying bridge which took you along the main deck, which is the longest deck, right along to the after accommodation. Means you can walk from your forecastle head to your poop or vice versa without going on the main deck, which was 9 times out of 10 it was a wash of water anyway with the sea rolling and that.
If it was fully loaded,
she'd
be well in the water.
Fully loaded, she'd well in the water. She would only have about, I don't know, 4 foot freeboard or something like that on your main deck. Of course, the other decks are way above, like a normal ship. But that was only like a flying bridge.
So your quarters, the crew's quarters, were where?
All aft. Firemen, deck crew, engineers, mates and radio officers were all up on the bridge, and the catering staff, they were up on the bridge. All the stewards, assistant stewards, mushroom boys, they'd be amidships. The cook would be aft, and his galley boys, assistant cook, they would be aft with those engineers. And all the deck crews, firemen, greasers, motormen.
What was her speed?
Well, on her trial she did 18 knots.
That's quite moving, isn't it?
Respectable. Quite, yeah. Yes, very good.
And your duties on the ship, what were they?
Normal seaman's duties, just keeping everything ship shape. We started off loading stores, flexible oil pipes, some great big oil pipes that you use, all sorts of equipment. We didn't put the guns on, but we helped with the storing the ammunition and making everything shipshape.
And the oil, how was it held in the ship?
Well, it contains in tanks which are sections off. You have main tanks running down the middle of the ship, and then you have what you call wing tanks around the outside. And it's all filled through the pipework. You don't actually handle the oil or anything. You just couple the pipe up and it's all pumped into the different tanks. Whichever oil you want in whatever tank. You can have them all in separate tanks or you can have them all the same.
So you could have had, a fire in one tank, but that wouldn't affect the other tanks around it. It was contained. Is that possible?
When we were torpedoed, we had a fire in one tank full of kerosene. And it was contained there, fortunately, because it was the wing tank where the torpedo went in was also the main deck pump room. And so we had an access into the pump room, apart from a hole in the deck. We had an access to the fire, and that's where we played all the extinguishers on eventually and got it out. But it was contained in one area. It wouldn't spread to the other one.
Do you recall the captain of the vessel?
Dudley Mason.
What was he like?
He was okay. He was youngish. A company's man. Eagle Oil were managing for the Ministry of War Transport. And Eagle Oil had a big fleet of tankers. It was a big tanker company, and they picked him to be skipper of her. We thought the American skipper was staying aboard because we still saw him there, but they wouldn't let him stay. They put their own. They wanted a British crew and a British skipper aboard.
Do you remember the names of any of the officers?
Yeah. I remember Gray. I worked with Gray a lot on after we were torpedoed on the steering gear and that. I've got the other ones all wrote down, but I haven't.
But
I can't just fetch them to mind.
They were pretty good, presumably.
Oh, aye, they were champion. Champion, yes. Yes, it was a good mixed crew. It was English, Irish, Scotch, Welsh. Those all sorts.
And you got on one, a happy crew?
Oh, I'm very happy, yeah. I was a grand crew.
When were you eventually signed on and the ship moved?
We signed on the 10th of July.
That's 42.
That's 42, yeah.
And where did she move to?
She moved down, we moved her down to, my ear's going daft today. Moved her down to Bowling to load a cargo of oil and kerosene. I'm not sure about the quantities, they give varying quantities in the stories about her, but she was well loaded anyway, she was.
And had you any idea where she was going at this point?
No, no, it was all guesswork where she was going. We didn't have a clue. It was just the extra armament on her. It was set people's minds going. And you had a big emergency generator installed into the accommodation. An extra big one. So everybody wondered what was happening. There's all sorts of machinery getting put aboard for fire prevention. Eagle Oil had a system on their tankers for fire prevention, and they introduced it onto the Ohio, where you had a generator or a compressor or something, and it coupled up to all the different tanks. And I don't know what it pumped into them, but it was some sort of fire depressant. So all this gave us for a board, and we just didn't have a clue. We knew she wasn't going back to Canada or the States because we'd loaded her with oil in England. So it was, that was pretty obvious. And it wasn't till we got down to the down to Greenock, where we eventually anchored, that we got to know where she was going. Captain Mason went aboard the cruise in Nigeria, and when he came back, he said, you're going to Malta. And he read us a letter out from some First Lord or other, which was supposed to make us all feel good, and sent us off on our way.
Yeah, I was going to say, but how did you feel when you got that news? Because you'd know that Malta was going through it.
All the lads cheered. I don't know. We're going to Malta. We seemed quite happy about it.
I suppose.
Well, it was going to be another trip. That was all. You know, we'd done other trips.
You didn't see yourselves as coming to rescue the Maltese from there.
Not at that time. Not at that time. No. Yeah. No, you were going to Malta, and we thought, oh, well, that's champion. That's... You'd heard about Malta, you knew he was getting hammered, like, but you were going there, and that was it.
You hadn't immediately thought that you would have to go through that
dangerous
area.
No, not especially not when we saw the size of the escort. You know, it was like half of a battle fleet being there with you. Once we got stretched out into the Atlantic Ocean, forming up as a convoy, there was only 14 of us, and there seemed to be dozens of other Navy ships.
14 merchant ships, and the rest were Navy?
14 merchant ships, and there was about, 40-odd Navy ships, Royal Navy ships.